special meeting, the budget of April 14th, 2023 to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Marley Haskam.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Clerk Administrator Anya Watkinson.
Roshan Kantia, Treasurer.
Counselor Debbie Zulot.
Counselor Mike Heckenen.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
And Mayor David Borden. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We have Resolution 23-275, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda as presented for the special open meeting of Council. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Have the respect and acknowledgement declaration. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community in harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Resolution 23-276, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby move into committee the whole at
1:02 p.m.
to continue discussions on the draft 2023 budget. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, is Roshan and Mike, you all set? Hey. Just to bring us up to date.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. The new draft is refined based on our discussion on March 31st, 2023. And overall, the numbers are same. The only minor change is I moved the AODA washroom budget to the building account, the transportation building account, and that's 15,000 moved in the reserve. Everything else is the same. So overall impact on our bill is $25.17 per 100,000 assessment, or 4.62% on our bill. In last council meeting, we discussed about the our rates and we compared with our neighboring municipalities, and I tried to put some of the factors on my report that, you know, individual municipalities have various characters, and some have very high density people living in the per kilometer, others have very high debt. And overall, if you look our municipalities with others, we are very in good position. Especially, you know, if you look at the debt per household, ours is really low. I think the second lowest in the neighboring municipalities. And I think if I compare with the other two budgets, which has been passed or is almost going to be passed, like McDougall, they just raised their taxes by 4.19%, and Carling, they are under discussion, and they're going to raise the taxes by 4.90. So ours in between 4.62. So from my understanding, that, you know, the our rates and overall our municipality is in a better position.
Excellent. Do you have any figures? Just maybe Whitestone's not finished yet.
No, they haven't finished yet. Okay. And same thing with Seguin. I was looking for their budget. They didn't even put the first draft, so I'm not sure where they are standing, but then I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Pay Sound, they are still finalizing. I'm not sure if they are already finalized, but they are looking at 3.70. But again, as I said previously, that we cannot compare the individual municipalities with us, because Pay Sound have very high debt. Same thing with the Whitestone. They have very, very high debt. So maybe that's why they have lower taxes,
yeah,
tax rate compared to us.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's good, and I appreciate the tax rates too that came out from last year. That to me is always a good comparison.
So given that, sorry, I just want to add on that, when you look at those tax rates of 2022,
right?
You know, Perry Sound has 1.463%, which is roughly, if you look at the assessment of 100,000, that means $1,463.17. And compared to us, McKellar was $544. So again, you know, even though their tax rate low, but then they've been borrowing so much money that, you know, they can reduce the taxes, but then again, there's tax rate is used to be high and now it's going to be reduced.
Yeah. Yeah, Perry Sound's always a difficult comparison because they have the sewer water as well, which the ratepayers pay for. No, I always like to look at, we were always sort of the middle of the pack of Whitestone and Carling, very comfortable, and it looks like we're similar. Although Whitestone, as you say, has taken on more debt now, that's why they're maybe a bit lower than what they used to be. Yeah. Okay, good summary. Councillor Zula.
Can I just ask a question here? You're saying 4.62, Roshan?
Yeah.
What's the 5.94 on our sheet?
5.94 is the I required the levy to balance the budget, but overall with the assessment, the impact is 4.62.
Okay.
And that's always confusing when it goes out to the public because the figures are all over the place. Councilor,
but I think a better representation is what page is that? So at the end of reserves version 3. What it's going to cost the taxpayers is the total tax rate for $100,000 assessment is $722.47 is what they're going to be charged per $100,000 assessment for 2023.
That's including the education.
Yeah. So I think that there's a little piece of information missing on the first page of the report number T2236. That maybe would be able to provide a little bit more information to anyone reading this. Preliminary tax levy, the proposed budget contemplates a tax rate increase of 5.94% once combined with education tax rates, which have not increased in 2023. The net effect to the average taxpayer will be $25.17 for $100,000 assessment. I think if there were two words in there, the net effect to the average taxpayer will be an increase of $25.17 with a total tax rate for 2023 of being $722 per $100,000 assessment. So that anyone that knows what their assessed value is,
That makes more sense, because if you're looking at this, you're thinking, okay, for $100,000, you're going to pay $25.
Yeah, you're like, wow, this is fantastic.
Eh? Well, really.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, the word increase is good, yeah. But I think if you are going to put in the 0.0072 and whatever, you should also say that that includes the education, because it all says here is once combined with education tax rates, but that should be spelled out, because I think what we tend to compare is that education stays the same throughout, sort of thing. So we tend to compare by the municipalities and what you're doing within the municipal tax base, and we're just a collection agency for the education. We can't change that. We don't do anything with that. We just collect it and pass it on, sort of thing. So I'm not even sure if it should. I mean, we have to put it in the calculations, obviously, but it's an in and out sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think for the average taxpayer, I mean, obviously, if they want to go after the education, that's fine. But I think we should be concentrating on what council is responsible for.
Yeah, because on that, the 4.62 is our municipal increase now. At least the math I did factor in the education, and actually on our tax bills, it will be a 3.5% increase. Does that kind of make sense? Once you factor in the education?
already factored in if you look at the sheet.
Yeah, the actual increase on, in a tax bill including the education tax would be around 3.5%. Does that make sense?
Mm, no.
No? Well, compared to last year, say in 2022, I took the figure from 400,000. If anybody has a place less than that, you're very lucky. But of 2789 and increased it to the 2023 year total in the 400,000 up to the 2889. That's a 3.5% increase.
Right, you're including tax education. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
in that case. Yeah.
Maybe. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
But then just municipal portion, and that's why I just compared the municipal portion.
Yeah, that's fine.
As far as mayor said, you know, it's education portion is in and out. We get it. We pass it back to the board. So. We don't keep it anything, but
mm-hmm.
if you look just from the municipal point of view, the net effect will be 4.62.
Right, but yeah, which
we, I,
but some people
know,
look at their bill and they take the very bottom line, including everything.
Okay.
Some probably don't even pay attention to education or municipal. So it's kind of, I'm just saying, it's kind of good news in a way that the very bottom line is 3.5.
And especially, it's good news for the people. Normally, I get a call and then they ask me why would it. They pay when they don't have kids. So,
yeah.
You know.
That's a good point.
So I can tell them, you know, you're only paying 3.5.
Yeah. Yeah, because it stayed stationary, I mean, it does make sense. It's probably a better looking figure, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember years ago, once in a while, education would go nuts. Eh? Like, we would keep the fairly balanced budget, not much increase, but all of a sudden, education would be, wow, you're kidding me, you know, say 7 or 8%. And I think there was the odd year we said, well, we can't send that out to the people, that kind of bottom line. So we'd really trim our budget to try to make that very bottom line not hurt people too much. And then it'd be like this year, it's not bad. And there's been years where education has been, might even been a decrease possibly. So it helps out. But I think the very bottom line looks reasonable, the 3.5. I know I shouldn't be talking about the education portion blended in, but... I just want to be clear that that's what it was.
I don't think so. If you look at the page I was just referring to, it has the 2023 residential tax rate increase impact, and it has it broken down that the assessment municipal tax rate is 0.05695, the education is 0.153, and then the total is 0.07225.
Yeah, that was on the 100,000 figures you were using
yes.
there, right? Okay, so yeah, the municipal portion is an increase of the 4.6%. The education tax, 153, is 0% increase. So when you total 4.6 together with the zero and you have a certain portion coming in, it would reduce the total tax rate by a certain amount. At least the math I did says 3.5% on the total.
But then are you going to do the calculation or something?
No, I was actually just doing math. That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
But my focus was just on the municipal part. That's why I just focused on that.
Yeah, which is the 4.62%. Yeah, that's pretty good considering what
it is.
And unfortunately, it's really not enough, I don't think, going forward for McAllister to keep all our infrastructure in place and that where something's going to happen down the line. But at least for this year, it's not going to hurt people too much.
Well, we'll see once we get in the line by line again in certain areas.
I don't think any major household budgets only increased by 4.62%, that's for sure. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, food. Fuel, you know, all those things are a lot more than that. So,
okay, go into the capital end of it. I think all we need here is a bit of clarification. Maybe you've already covered it, Roshan, but the for the roads, because Center Road has been taken off. Some of the gravel too that came in, that's been taken off too. Is that included in this now? They just came in the other day, the tenders for the gravel, because some of it was going to be used for Center Road. Has that been reflected in these figures?
Some of the gravel won't be required now. What was Greg saying, 32,000 or something?
Right. I don't think that's been reflected just because the tenders came in yesterday afternoon.
So can that be explained where that comes out of so that it can have an effect on these figures when Groshine can go back? And
yes.
Hopefully you can explain it. I was just here for the tender opening, so I heard the situation, but I wasn't sure how that was coming off the budget. Unless it was going into reserves, I don't know what.
I'll have to ask Greg what line item that was coming out of, and then we'll have it revised for the next meeting.
Maybe that was his idea, that not necessarily cut it, just put it into reserves, or like, I don't know.
That's maybe normally, that's why he does, you know, keep it, and normally he order more and keep it there in case if he need it, and then he might use it for next year.
Right.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah, that maybe this is one, I don't know.
Yeah, as soon as I seen that, I thought that maybe, you know what, rather than adjust all these figures, you know, put that in the reserve for the center road, since that was kind of the original intent anyway.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because it'll only go up. Right?
Yeah.
It'll go up and you go to order it again.
Just back to what we discussed, so this sheet that we were handed, it has the 2022 municipal residential tax rates, and that's just residential tax rates. That's not with the educational included. And the sheet on right after reserves version 3 has that exact information here for 2022, that the municipal tax rate for McKellar Township was $544.30. So you cannot subtract the education from that and try to say that, you know, this is a point, a 3.5%. It's not. It's the 0.544. So the total for 2023, including tax, if you don't want to have the include the educational tax rate onto that for 100,000, is $569.47 plus the $153, which is the tax, education tax rate, brings us to $722.47, or 0.007225. I'd want to have some type of misinformation going out that our residential tax rate's only going to be increasing 3.5%. That's not accurate according to the information that we have.
But would you agree that the 4.62 is accurate? That's what we were given.
On which page? Because even in the preliminary tax levy, it says 5.94%.
Well, he explained that to Councilman Zulak a minute ago. Maybe, Roshan, you can cover that again. So.
Yeah, 5.92% is the money I require to balance the budget. But the overall impact on our tax bill is 4.62 because of the increase in the assessment. So when you put that 5.92 with the increase in assessment, overall impact will be 4.62%.
Okay.
And you're right, because education didn't change, so the only difference is the municipal rate, you know, when you compare the year 2022 or 2023. So 3.50 doesn't make sense to me, but I haven't done it from the education point of view, so I'm not, you know, I can't say much about it, but, you know, the change should be only the municipal side, which should be the 4.62.
Yeah, but what people are going to see on their tax bill is going to be $722.47 per 100,000.
That's correct.
And that was compared to, and last year it said the 6973, Mike?
Correct.
Yes, that's right.
So if you actually did your math from the 6973 to the 7225, that percentage
should be same. It's still be same. 25.17. The difference is if you look at 697.30, 722.47. So 22.325. You know, roughly around same amount.
Same amount, you mean the 4.6 would be the same amount?
Because education rate didn't change, the only rate change is the municipal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I would just put it, there's a bit of a challenge to do the increase from that, these figures in the total tax rate from 22 to 23, and at least when the, with my calculator, it came out to around 3.5%, so I don't know if you want.
Definitely, we will work on your taxes and.
Yeah, well, I just wonder whether you want to grab a calculator and do that math, just to clarify. Or I'm fine with what we got in front of us anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I always get concerned when we go over the $7 per thousand, but doing it comparatively, I see what the other townships are into as well. We're not really out of line, but I guess I was just used to the $6 and something a thousand.
3%.
And the reason I take 1,000, to me, that's easier to multiply than 100,000, because then you can just go with the value of your property, the impact assessment, and I don't know, that's just my lower level math, but anything else on the capital that we want to look at? I guess I have one question starting off with, I see it as revenue, and you have it, if approved, for the year. The ball diamond. Does that calculate in? I mean, are we looking at that? Is it taken away somewhere else, or is it just, it looks like good revenue, but if it's not approved, should it be in there as a revenue source?
Well, you know, to apply for the baseball diamond, we need to have a budget, right? And
right.
To balance it out, I have to put in that 90% amount they're supposed to give us.
Right.
And the remaining 10% we are going to provide, so I have to put in the budget. So when they ask us, you know, if you really include that budget, then we can give it to them that, yeah, that's part of our budget.
Right. And I know it's a sliding scale.
Yeah.
It's hard to know because, I mean, that's the max they would, if approved, right?
Yeah, that's max they approve. And again, it's up to them, but, you know, from documents requirement, they want to see, you know, we are already included in our budget for this year, so that's why I included revenue and expenses.
Right.
And how much the township is going to pay. So that's why I put it 90% their max they can give it to us.
So I'm just wondering if for instance, they said that's the max they would give, but if they came back at 100,000, then we have to come up with the rest, I would assume, for whatever the cost
is. Or maybe we can put in the reserve and do it next year or something.
Yeah. Like with the bridge. And
yeah.
It kept being put off here. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have one other thing on,
yeah,
on the capital budget. I'm at our last meeting for the lawnmower, which is 2/3 of the way down the page, so $12,000. I thought that we had agreed with that we would move that line item up into the public works area. In other words, the section immediately above. I don't know that it changes. It doesn't change anything, but I mean, that's what I had written down on the last version of the document. But
yeah, I think Roshan has in the actual reserve sheet, he's combined the two of them.
Yeah, okay.
And that's just breaking it down, I think, to how
sure.
You arrive at this figure.
Yeah, and it's helpful to have it broken down for sure. So.
And just for clarification, on the third page, we have additional funding required, the third line up. And where is that? Cross-referenced into the operating, just so we could.
So if you look at the operating budget, page number 26.
26? Okay.
And if you look at the line available for capital.
Which line, sorry?
Oh,
available.
Last line.
Okay, I see there, yeah. It's always a challenge to cross-reference everyone, so can find it again.
So it's actually like surplus out of our operating can be transferred over to the capital.
Now that was suggested, was it not, in the asset management plan that think they gave the figure 400,000.
Yeah, they suggested more. So it's up to the council if they want to increase the levy, increase the tax rate, then definitely we can put that money in the reserve.
Yeah. But they're sort of doing it in isolation too as they do their plan. They're not looking at the big picture, I don't think. So.
And I believe at some point we would have to, we should be looking at the asset management plan and as well looking at our asset, what is it, the bylaw number 2019-36 being a bylaw to adopt a strategic asset management policy, which says that the financial planning and budgeting, the township will integrate asset management planning into the annual capital budget, operating budget, and long-term financial plan. So we have a policy, and I think at some point, I don't know if we have time, you know, now before the passing of this budget, but sometime in the upcoming year, where we do sit down and we take a roads tour, facilities tour, sit down, look at the asset management plan, and ensure that we have a good picture. We're making you know, a lot of decisions in a vacuum without having the full scope of information that we need, because you know it's particularly of concern when the 2016 asset management plan indicated that over $100,000 in 2016 was supposed to be spent on in-homes bridge for maintenance. And when you look at the situation that we are in now of replacing a bridge, any corporation cannot be in a position where they're reacting to something that they didn't do proactively when it was indicated that that should have taken place in 2016. I went through the budgets from 2016 to 2022. $900 was spent one year, so I think it was $1,500 another year. We have to make wise decisions to ensure that our assets are maintained and that we're ensuring that we're getting the maximum lifespan out of these assets that we have with the very limited resources that we have.
Am I right, Mike, that the asset management plan we received last year from Burnside did not include roads and equipment?
Yes, it was just a core asset management plan, and you know, I think at some point we have to consider getting a full scope asset management plan, which we had previously, and you know, this was helpful for the information that is in the June 29th, 2022 asset management plan. We can, you know, look at some of the things in there, particularly of concern. It mentions that there's money that should be allocated in, you know, it talks about the condition of our bridges. And in one section where it talks about what needs to be take place in less than 1 year, I think it was $100,000. And what needs to take place between 1 and 5 years is $1.1 million. Where is that being accounted for in the current budget? And that's just one bridge, you know, and it mentions Herdville Bridge, which is a major structure, you know, asset that we have, that it mentions that it's in poor condition. So how much do we have allocated in the 2023 budget specifically for Herdville Bridge? And Ford's Bridge is another one that appears on the list of bridges to take into consideration.
Do you have any idea who let them off the hook on commenting on roads and equipment? I mean, was it decided unilaterally by Burnside's or whomever? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Like, you know, and see, this is why it's important that we have these comprehensive, you know, discussions and are familiar with the asset management plan so that when it goes out to tender, we know what we're tendering for. You know, is this a core asset management plan or is this a full scope asset management plan? So if all of council is not familiar and, you know, reviewing these documents, then we're making decisions on, you know, doing things which are not, you know, are not of the, probably of the best decision in that case.
Not looking at the big picture, we're looking at what we see in front of us, that's all.
Which is very limited most of the time.
It is.
I think what Councilor Ryan's asking is that from the previous council, what did they approve, sort of thing? Did they know what they were getting? And that's a good question. Just for clarification as well, this one didn't include vehicles and facilities. The roads are in here.
Okay.
So
okay.
They look at the different conditions of the roads, and they're also tying it in with the roads needs study that was done by Tatum.
My question was very simply, I don't know how that came to be. In other words, did council say that's okay to omit those things, or did they just simply omit it?
Good question. We'll have to ask the previous council.
And I think it was not fully aware of what, you know, the scope of that particular tender was. You know, because there isn't, you know, this concentration of reviewing these documents. You know, the asset management plan should be reviewed, as our policy says, during every budget deliberations. And I can't recall, you know, at any point that it's been done. So I think at some point we need to, you know, really do our due diligence and be responsible stewards of taxpayers' money and resources.
I agree.
Roshan.
The requirement from the province last year was that by July 1st, 2022, municipalities has to complete the assessment on their core assets.
Okay.
So that's why this report was done based on just core assets. But I think next year, or maybe after that next year, I don't remember the exact dates, but then by July of 24 or 25, we have to do the reports on all of our assets.
Mm.
So that will include everything. So now the grants, especially, they are based on our assets management plan.
Okay.
So if you have, you know, the like core assets, the assets management plan is done. Now the ministries, they are looking at our assets management plan, and they are looking at how much, what are the conditions of those, and how much we are spending, and obviously going forward, the grants will be based on our assets management plan.
And the roads needs study that was done by Tatum, or presented last year by Tatum, does, it may not be an asset management plan per se, but indeed the vast majority of pages in there are directly related to that. So.
Yeah, and it's a bit confusing. I know they get a lot of their information from staff, but even as Director of Operations told us, what they say are priority roads really aren't priority roads for us. I mean, looking at the condition of, but also traffic flow. I mean, that's something they didn't really consider.
Yeah.
They've got some really minor roads that need, they say it should be number one priority, and really isn't. So you have to take that too and adjust it accordingly with the study. It's good that they're looking at it professionally and the shape that the roads are in, and I agree with that. Just back to what Councillor Keckner was saying, I went through the asset management plan, and this is where I'm getting a bit confused on numbers. I know with in-home, since you're concentrating on that one, it went from a small dollar amount up to close to $500,000 now. But I see in the asset management plan, the most recent one, they have a figure in there, 2021, of $347,000 to repair in-homes in 2023, and $1.3 million to replace. And that's now out of date. So I think if we're getting a whole new bridge for $500,000, and they thought it might be $1.3 million, maybe we're not doing so badly, even though it wasn't necessarily done
probably
in the best way. And, but that's right from the asset management plan. I don't know whether they get their figures, but they are the professionals and engineers, so. They also have interesting in there to the financing strategy. Now, as Roshan said, I mean, they're not taking the entire thing into the big picture into consideration, but they do have a plan there over the years, and I think as Councillor Keckinen said, it's probably a good idea. We're dealing with 2023 in isolation. We should be following similar to the asset management plan where they project ahead. All the things that Greg is putting off this year have to show up in the future years, and they can't all be next year. So why is he not working? Maybe he has, I don't know, we just haven't seen it. What's coming in 2024? What are his plans? Are they outlined? The same with 2025. And of course, that will depend as well on grants, which he says are decreasing. But I think we need to have a longer range plan as well. And these studies that they're doing, especially the roads and needs study, they do have years in them. I mean, it's good until such and such a year with depreciation and with no work done on it at all. And if there's regular maintenance on a yearly basis, it's going to last longer. But obviously, too, you have to consider the nature of the top of the road, if it's asphalt, and the major cost there if you go to replace that, as opposed to fixing up some gravel roads. But I think we need that, instead of just doing it in isolation, we have to look ahead and see. It's easy for us to sit here now, okay, we're keeping it at this rate, it looks good. What happens next year? Do they get hit with double the tax increase because we had to put things off? So I don't know how far you can carry that as far as passing that on to, it's mainly our roads, I think, for our capital. But,
again, you know, at the last meeting, we discussed about the debenture.
Right.
One of the routes is taking up the debenture. Other route is, you know, saving enough in the reserve, which right now we cannot because obviously the way situation is, you know, the inflation, high cost, and everything. Third one is just wait for the 2025 when the assessment will be higher,
yeah.
And then start putting in, you know, money in the reserve just for the infrastructures. So
yeah.
Those are three routes where we need to look at that, and we have to look at which one is viable for us, you know,
yeah.
Instead of looking at the other municipalities. So, yeah, there's a lot of municipalities nowadays going for the debenture route, but right now interest rate is so high, it's not even worth of taking out the debenture right now. I was talking to the bank yesterday, and they were mentioning to me that, you know, the interest rate going to be down in later in the year. They are talking about maybe October, November, the interest rate will go down. So, you know, maybe next year will be a good time to go for the debenture route.
Yeah.
And or maybe we can wait two more years, and by 2025 we will see the reassessment. Obviously, at that time we will get the more revenue.
Okay, so you're working on this, obviously. So when do we get the lecture on debentures and the pros and cons? I think that would be useful. I just read an article too that the interest rates may be increasing right on the immediate. But then, as you say, by the end of the year, they may be going.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Some of the firms do call me about the, you know, our account, our GIC, and. And yesterday I was talking with the person, he works for one of the financial capital company, and I asked him the scenario for next year or this year. He said to me that, you know, the bank is going to hold the interest for maybe one more quarter or maybe two quarters. After that, definitely it's going to rate. And he showed it to me that, you know, our GIC rates, whatever you see right now, maybe in a month it will start, you know, going down, because, you know, they know that interest rate going down by October, November, so they don't want to offer the higher GIC interest rate, you know, for next 1 year or 2 year or 3 year or 5 years.
Yeah.
Do you know how much we paid Burnside's for the asset management plan last year? In ballpark, I'm not looking for an exact figure, just as an idea.
I know we budgeted around 40,000.
Yeah. Does it seem to make sense then to engage another one? I mean, I know it's money, a lot of money, but it might well pay for itself in terms of our planning for these things.
But we have to engage next year.
Okay.
After next year, I have to look at the dates, but then by certain date, we have to finalize the new assets management to include all of our assets. So
yeah.
Obviously, at that point, we have to engage that.
But is that a schedule that's fixed by the province or anybody? Is it?
Yeah.
And so therefore we'd have to do it twice in 2 years. Okay, I understand. Good. That's the answer I was really looking for. Thank you.
Well, the interesting thing in all of this in the asset management plan, I mean, a decade ago it didn't exist in the jargon. Municipalities went on without these plans. And it was the accounting group that got together, and I don't know whether it was a make work project or what it was, but suddenly the public sector accounting board came forward and said, okay, and they got the year of the government and said, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to look at the actual depreciation of your vehicles and your buildings and all of that, and it wasn't being done. But what are your real assets? What is the real value of what you have? And then it got more and more complicated.
Yeah.
And that's why we need a treasurer like Roshan to lead us through it, because the average layperson.
And more money it costs us.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it affects our service to the resident too, right? If we don't maintain our assets properly, then obviously we won't provide the services which we supposed to.
Right.
So have to have assets management, which tells the condition of our assets and the services related to the our assets.
Which is a helpful tool.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can do some long range forecasting and then when you do defer certain projects this year and you start looking at the asset management plan of what's lined up, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, and you're seeing that you're creating a logjam of projects that are being deferred and everything's going to be coming home to roost in 4 years from now, then that's concerning planning techniques, you know.
And good corporations and township and towns or cities, normally they create the budget for 10 years based on the capital requirement and the estimated, you know, the budget, you know, but then that will tell you where would you see your township in next 10 years and what kind of services you would like to focus on. You know, that's one of the most of the good organization and the township focus on. If they have 10-year budget, then they go accordingly.
No, that makes sense. The only thing that sometimes there's a little glitch in it, like recreation cultural centers shows up and invest late plans. Suddenly that has to be incorporated into it, and it doesn't show up in any asset management plan. But, and that's the other thing with all of this too. We're looking at assets, and we're part of area-wide organizations. Is that never calculated in? I mean, the cultural center is a good example. That has to figure into our budget, and we don't even know, we don't have a building yet, but when it comes up, then what would be part of our assets? I don't know how that figures in. The same with social services, Belvedere, we pay into all of those things. Do we have any assets from them, or is that all provincial?
No, we don't have any assets, all provincial.
Okay.
We just provide it and support them in, to help them to run the company, that's it.
So this campus of care they were talking about, I don't know where it's sitting right now, but I'd understood that there was going to be, the townships would have to be responsible for the actual capital construction of that. The same with the Recreation Cultural Center. If you're part of the actual capital construction, it's just like the information center we had years and years ago. When that closed down, we got a return on investment because the building was sold. So I think if you're putting capital towards a new building, should you not have part of that asset then? Because you have the liability associated with it, why wouldn't you get the asset as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. Definitely we can look into that. But as far as my understanding, we don't own the assets, so it's not a part of our assets.
But you see, that's what's confusing,
yeah,
about this the cultural center too, is it's,
yeah,
going ahead. Because my understanding is, and even municipalities, after it's built and functioning, municipalities don't own it. It's the board.
Yeah, it's a board.
And that's very confusing, because right now the board has no money,
yeah,
no bank account. Where do they get their money from? The municipalities and the government, upper levels. And so I just don't understand, the municipalities are in this, and yet they're not going to be the owners in the future. It's very confusing. Councilor Keck.
So a lot of times what's recommended is that, as well as looking at asset management plan, and is looking at the consolidated financial statements so that you know what your liabilities are, and so that not only the asset management liabilities that are coming due, but the ones that you're committed to external boards and organizations. And on that line, you know, there's a recommendation that every 5 years that the audited financial statements goes out to tender. So that, and because one thing that's important with that is the engagement letter, so the municipality knows what their responsibilities are, and the auditor knows what their responsibilities are. I can't even recall when the last tender went out for the current auditor, when municipalities are, there's sort of a responsibility to retender it every 5 years, so that everyone's up to date with what's going on, and there's a chance to see what other services other auditors are providing. So
another boards that I was on, we had to pass a resolution from the board of directors to reappoint or not the auditor every year. And I know it's different than a tender, but I mean, it's connected to the same issue. In other words, it isn't just automatic. And frequently, in my experience, it changed. So.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a good sort of exercise to go through is, you know, when the 5 years is up, then you reappoint again. So then you have an opportunity to see what the engagement letter says and what the expectations are, so that you're satisfied with the services and the price that you're paying for those services.
I have never seen a new auditor ever say good things about the previous auditor either, so ever. They could always pick holes in things like anybody could, I'm sure, but I always took those with a grain of salt, but by the same token, it's valuable to have fresh eyes looking at it, so. Right. And the forensic audit, I would think, would help out with that too, but.
And that's one of the, right in the audited financial statements, it indicates that the auditor maintains a attitude of professional skepticism, criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And we want that. We want someone to look at things and to ensure that the internal controllership policies are adequate. And we want someone who tests those internal controls from a different perspective.
Okay, can we go through the operating? Not too much is changing there, as Roshan said, but there might be some questions. I was comparing with the previous version we had. So. So I'll just start us off with on page 2. Under the administration for salaries. Now that figure is the figure it was in last time as well.
Yeah.
When you say administration, now I know you have salaries broken down to different compartments, different departments. What does this actually cover, this amount?
This amount includes the finance department and the governance department.
Finance and?
Clerks department.
And clerks?
Yeah, so myself and Ina and Carly and Mary.
Okay. As I say, that figure hasn't changed.
No.
From the previous figure.
Yeah, we already reconciled whatever we need to change it, so I already changed on the previous one, and that's pretty much after that. There's nothing but change.
Okay, so the previous one on 31st?
I already included the
okay.
Whatever changes need to be done.
Okay. And at the bottom of that page, we probably covered this before, but the interest and principal on debenture. Which debenture is that now? Is that bottom of page 2? It's the second line up.
35,000. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that includes our truck.
The truck?
Yeah.
The fire truck?
Yeah.
So that's nothing to do with the pool yet?
No, no.
The
pool is on this.
Is this separate?
Separate one you will see on the
yeah.
recreation department.
Yeah.
That's where you will see the pool one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the 2 fire trucks?
No, 1 fire truck we bought it through the venture.
I thought they bought 2.
Did buy 2,
yeah.
But have reserves, enough
one
reserves for 1.
One
used
the reserve and
okay.
Other one bought
okay.
it. So we now received the donation request, so I'm not sure if the council suggestion on that. With the package, you council must have seen the donation request from a different organization, so.
What amount was that?
3 different amounts.
3
oh,
different amounts.
From those, yeah. And what was set aside for that? It was?
You know, we set aside, we 4,000 donation grants to the organization at discretionary donation, we have $5,000.
Right.
So the total $9,000 we have, and plus $1,500 for the scholarship.
And what do these 3 total?
I haven't told
you. Okay.
So I'm not sure how the council would like to do it. We want
right.
to go through each application and look at that and approve it or.
Well, I would hope at this point, too, that you know we've had this now, and council's had a chance to look at the applications
mm-hmm.
and the
amounts, and that's why I was interested in the total. Are we under the total?
I think
we're,
so.
We're certainly past the deadline, so there shouldn't be any more coming in.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you want to take each one individually to accept what they put in their request, or do you want to cut it back, or do you want to give any of them? That's a good point.
So I think we need clarification once again on the difference between donations, grants to organizations, and discretionary donations, because previously donations, grants to organizations went to a variety of different organizations, including CBNDC, and there was quite a few organizations that received
museum?
Yes, there was $1,000 to the museum that year.
So would the simplest be straight donations and leave out discretionary now? Because that's what seemed to be confusing. But
can I suggest something? Because even I'm confused, you know, why we have a 2GL. So can we combine one GL and just like in 2020, you know, pay out from one account instead of, you know, having two different ones? Because as you write, even I'm confused with why. Which one? It seems like a same GL though, or same meaning though.
Yeah, the only confusing part is, I guess, it looks like there's a deadline for one, but not for the other. So the discretionary could happen at any time of the year, and the other one. So you're right, if there's an extra deadline
right.
that applies to one account, then there's really no discretionary. It's donations, and whether you decide to give those or not. You can't do it throughout the year.
And which normally we don't receive anything once we pass the deadline, right? So that's it. You know, whatever we see it now, that's pretty much we are going to give it to the individual organizations.
Oh, so if an organization came up in midsummer and said we need a bit of money, that never happened?
I haven't seen lately, so
okay.
I'm not sure. But then it's again. Come back to their, you know, council, so you know whatever the council decides.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think there was, with the donations grant policy, there was an attempt to try to get this clarified a little bit. So then there was the donation grant policy for local organizations to apply for this annual donation grant,
right.
Whereas the donations grants to organizations were, you know, such as CBNDC, the chamber, museum. I think it was more for organizations that would come in, like Camp Uchigeis, which
right.
is now Campfire Circle. These organizations that somehow they weren't quite, they didn't sort of fit the guidelines that are in the discretionary donations grant policy. So I think there's still a place for these two different categories, but there needs to be a clearer definition and an expectation of how much we want for each of those line items.
Yeah, it'll have to be clarified, you're right. And who decides on discretionary? Is that back to council, or does staff decide? Or there certainly would have to be some rules.
Thank
you.
So this is everything that people have put into us?
That's the
so
2020,
far?
No, that's the 2020 you know, list. You remember the last time?
Thank you.
So let me make one more copy for you.
Here.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the 2020 actual.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2020 actual. So that's what we paid in 2020.
Okay.
And these were all paid before a certain date?
I don't know.
It just seems a bit odd that
yeah.
they'd all be paid that early in the year, because it used to be March 1st, right?
I think these were all decided on during the budget deliberations.
Right, which didn't get passed sometimes until July, so.
Yeah, I have to see when it was passed that year. But yeah, these were items that probably were discussed during the budget deliberations, and
and see the amount matches the budget from 2022. So the 11,675 is in there for the 2020.
So all requests were granted.
Yeah. Well, all the ones that are listed here. Right. That's all of them. Who knows? But yeah,
that's true.
No, I think a lot of the ones were COVID related.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of, say about 3,600 worth there along the top.
And these all came out of the one donation?
Yeah.
Not the discretion.
No.
Yeah, no, the discretionary donations.
That was the discretionary donation, yeah, sorry. 15,000 we budgeted and 11,675 in 2020.
Okay.
Is it possible that the difference is that the discretionary ones don't fill out the
The
donor donation grant application, this form.
Yeah.
And maybe some of those they didn't, they simply made a written request, which I mean isn't materially different, but I mean that's kind of that's the inference that I'm figuring out anyhow. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but
I think at this point we need to set some guidelines so that we all know what these are allocated for. The donations, grants to organizations, that is the one for where the application was filled out. And it's only been in place now for a couple of years anyways.
So, can I ask?
Yeah.
So why did it have, what's the difference? Why did certain groups have to fill out, like Dynamic has to fill out the application grant, and yet these others don't? Why? Why can't why couldn't Dynamic just ask for money in the budget, or why couldn't the Bird Box ask for money in the budget? Why do they? Is there some criteria that they have to meet that they can't just do that? They have to fill out an application.
I think it was just to get a little bit more structure in how donations were being handed out and when they were being handed out, so that you could sort of budget for.
Okay.
Because
I just thought in the past when people put in, to ask for money for helping out, we just sort of put it all in a file, and then at budget time we took them out and we sent them something saying that, when comes budget time we'll look at your request. So I just wondered if there was a reason why certain ones did they have to meet a criteria. You don't know.
I think that was the attempt to get some type of structure, but obviously it hasn't sorted out the chaos here. So
I'm just wondering when they're talking about those donations. For an example, I just recently got an email from Vladimir at the Town of Perry Sound for the FONOM conference, looking to see if the township wanted to be a sponsor for that. That might be something completely different than someone in this township, an organization in the township, like building the birdhouses. So that might be the difference there. I'm just, that's a guess. Because that's going to be something that would come up. It wouldn't be something that you'd be looking at every year. It's something that just, we've got this going on.
Yeah.
We would like to look at you sponsoring. Is that possible?
Yeah, no, I think that's... to have that money set aside for anything, such as that, where the township might want to participate, that you could not have, you might not have had an opportunity to anticipate during budget discussions.
Right.
There are things that come up.
Or, as you said in the past, we had Camp Ujigias come and do a deputation. It wasn't something that they looked at doing on an annual basis. This is something, like building the birdhouses, this is something we're working on every year. We'd appreciate your continued support, versus we've got this function going on to try and raise money for kids with cancer.
Yeah.
So
and some of those organizations, they run into a situation of need during the course of the year,
exactly.
And then they canvass, municipalities for a little bit of assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a place for the two different categories, but just to have maybe a little clarification on what they're specifically structured for.
So I just noted that. Who does what? You're working on that? Well, let's go with what we have in front of us.
Okay.
With these three, and no matter which category we take it from, I guess they don't add up to the total. So it's a question of, and they met the deadline of April the 1st now this year. And I guess we just want sort of the Reader's Digest version too, rather than go through everything that we put in here. I guess that was asked for, certainly their financials, and so I don't know whether anybody wants to walk us through it.
In looking at the Bird Box one, I mean, there's a lot of things here that are not within McKellar. I don't know that that's a criteria. I mean, obviously a lot, the majority probably are, but I mean, I didn't quite try to quantify it, but again, it kind of comes back to the criteria and or, you know, the money that that organization has in it appears to be none, right? So that we'd be funding the whole thing. And again, here, my nature says, shouldn't they have some skin in the game too? And without imposing anything harsh or whatever, but I mean, is it fair for us to pay 100% when not even 100% of the Bird Boxes they're planning are in McKellar? So.
I don't believe that we're paying 100%. These are volunteers that are providing their time,
okay,
their gas to drive kilometers and kilometers several times a year to help reduce the mosquito population in McKellar Township. So these, if you look, this has been a project started by Jim Gardner decades ago,
okay,
I believe 20 years ago.
Okay.
He collects extensive data. This is what we have here is just a synopsis of some of the data, but you can see that it is having a positive impact. And that was started off just as a labor of love for the environment by Jim Gardner. So I think that this is a worthwhile cause of individuals who've taken up the torch to continue this project, and which has a direct, you know, benefit to McKellar Township residents. And for the small amount that they're asking, I think that the benefits are significant.
Yeah. Do they put on workshops as well, with the kids? Same group?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they did one or a couple of times. Uh-huh.
There was one presentation here in the summer that they had put on, and there was two things going on at the same time. But anyways, I had gone there and just taken a brief look at what's going on over there.
Yeah, so like Nick was saying, you would almost be right, but except for the fact that volunteer hours, you know, they're volunteers.
And right, hard costs like gas and things like that, that's not cheap, so.
And a lot of the materials, they scrounge, they receive donations.
Yeah.
The thing that they're short on now, from what I heard, are the T-bar fence posts to be able to mount the Bird Box is on. A lot of the wood they receive as donations from individuals or different companies.
Okay.
So a lot of this doesn't even cover, you know, this is a very small portion of what the real costs are, and you know that they're getting the majority of the materials and donating the, you know, their time and other resources. But once in a while they fall short on a key component such as the T-bar fence posts to be able to mount these.
Well, I think they're $15 a post.
Oh, I know. So there, that's not a lot of posts when you.
So these people, are they all McKellar residents, or are they from?
Well, it doesn't say who's on there, does it?
I know some of the people that are on there, and they're all McKellar residents, the ones that I know.
And I don't know, maybe for Nick's comments, do you want McKellar stamped on these or something? Or when it's in another township or what?
No, I'm not trying to be I was going to use a nasty word. I'm not trying to be harsh, right? But I mean, it just goes to the form itself. I mean, we don't even ask that question. We do have an address here, but the two people that signed it, I don't know, and that's not surprising at all. But I mean, it would be worthwhile just to know where they're from too. And again, I don't think, as in terms of supporting this application, I don't have any problem with it. I'm saying that. Notwithstanding that, I mean, I think we could improve upon our process for how we do these, that's all.
Yeah.
So.
But Lee Valley does sell wood burning stamps, so we could say he's probably sponsored by McKellar Township and stamp each one of them.
Like we did for the fall fair the other day, right? Whether they could use our logo, whether it was the fall fair, I don't remember, but anyway, we could, God knows what the cost of that might be to do that, that's all.
Well, the total for the three of them is $6,400,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so if we take out like the scholarships, that'd be separate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have enough, you have nine.
Mm-hmm. If we're combining the two?
Yeah.
But scholarships is
separate.
Yeah. She's keeping that out.
Yeah. Keep that separate.
The way I thought, which sometimes works, is if you, I know that some have requested less than what I'm suggesting, but I was thinking and that if it's divvied up, $4,500 divvied up three ways, $1,500 each.
And why $4,500?
Just a number I came to because the
okay.
bird boxes was $1,500.
Yeah, $1,400. But yeah.
And I'm thinking that they must have a reason for that figure to give it. And you give them more than what they're asking for? I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so then, yeah, so one was $3,000. So
right. Yeah, $3,000, $2,000, and $1,400.
It depends on what they're using it for.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I think the one is going to involve a lot more
right.
cost.
Right.
And it says on the application, you know, the number 20, number of citizens that participate or benefit. So it's a member of that group and...
Landowners? Five landlords.
Yeah. Landowners.
Landowners.
Yeah. You're right, it does say there.
Yeah.
I missed that the first time.
No, I think... something that this is fairly minor as such, and these people are certainly all above board. You could run into a situation the way it's set up right now, I guess, without financial statements, without all those things that, I mean, there's a potential there for problems. Where the money goes, and you see the end product, I guess, but it's a little loose.
But I don't think we have any problem with either.
No. I'm just saying,
yeah.
If you leave it this way, this open-ended, you might have a problem with other people in the future, that's all.
Yeah.
So maybe just tighten up requirements, what's expected from them.
I think in the policy it did indicate that that submit receipts as a follow-up for the application.
Okay, so we've got all those in these submissions?
At the end of their project.
Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting. Like, I'm just wondering, it's like the, when you're asked, I'm just trying to think of the example now, you want some proof, some evidence that these have been purchased. And as I say, with these particular groups, I have no problem with it, but you could, and our forensic audit will probably point this out, I'm not sure. That maybe you need some stricter controls. And maybe those are good enough. You can ask for it at the end. It may not be. I don't know.
I'd have to check that to confirm, but I believe in previous years with the bird boxes, we didn't do any donations last year. The year before that, I believe they went out and bought the material and then brought the receipts in, and we reimbursed up to the amount of the donation.
Okay.
No, I agree. Controllership. Policies absolutely shows that we're being responsible with taxpayers' dollars. So, yeah, because it is sort of a little bit loose the way it is. But then again, I think there's a clause in the policy that says that if you don't provide it, then the next time you put in an application, you won't even be considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but since if they have provided receipts from the in the past, it's showing good. Good faith and
definitely on the bird boxes they did. And said, I'm 99% sure that they paid for it and then we reimbursed based on the receipts that we got.
Well, that's how we have to do things.
Yeah.
We have to, before we get the grant money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something to think about, that they purchase the stuff and then we reimburse them later.
It's just interesting that the different scenarios, because I mean, you have Chamber of Commerce now asking for what's a $500, but we don't track that and see what they do with it.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Or CB&DC.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And in a lot of these organizations, we haven't even we didn't receive their financial statements until we requested them.
Right.
You're asking for a donation.
Yeah.
Let's see your financial statements so that we can see where this money is going to. So.
Yeah. Really.
Hmm.
Okay, it sounds like the bird boxes are okay from what I'm hearing.
So 1,400.
If that's what they're requesting, I guess.
Yeah.
And the, so we're doing all three?
I assume we would be.
Yeah.
Do we still have a prohibition about funding capital expenses?
No, that's been changed in the recent revision of the
yeah.
policy.
Okay. Okay, good. I remember both of those pieces, but not definitively anyway. So,
because pretty much everything's being applied for really is capital.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else do you want to look at next?
Snowmobile club, I guess. What is that? Yeah. Dynamic snow rider, snowmobile
yep.
club.
I'll do the washroom while that one's been discussed.
Probably should be noted. Now this one's it's unfortunate that we have the person who would have the most knowledge about that leaving, but I guess that makes some sense. There were different changes, I think, to the whole snowmobile organization from the province, and that I guess the Ontario Club or something, they were not funding now any of the smaller ones. I didn't follow it all, but I'm not a snowmobiler. But a lot of the local ones now have to fund themselves and finance, so purchasing these machines. And they want to make sure, I guess, that they stay. It stays in the provincial network, that people can travel from all over. You don't want a situation where you're isolated and you can't join in with the other trails.
Right.
So it does go beyond just what they're asking here, but not, they would have a reason why they have to purchase these new machines, I think. I don't know whether the other ones are too big or they don't put them on these trails anymore. I don't know.
That's my understanding, but that's just anecdotal. Yeah,
yeah.
They use these
you're
on smaller trails.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not, but
oh, okay.
I have been. I don't own a snowmobile at the moment. But
yeah, I think these are vital workhorses for doing the initial trail work on the trails before the frost sets in and but before the trails get packed enough for the larger groomers, and as well being able to go out initially to test the ice, to put out the stakes out on the ice. They need these workhorses to be able to do that kind of work. And I'm not exactly sure, but it seemed like the province or the provincial organization wasn't funding these smaller machines.
Yeah,
and
there is a good description on page 2 here, actually, about why they need them for the, what he's describing here is the 800 series trails. And he says only Scandics are allowed on these trails, and that's that jives with what I've been told anecdotally by people too. So,
no, I guess the question is, I don't see anything else on this application. Have they sought funding from other townships where the trails actually are located? It says other grants at 0, self-funded or fundraising 10,100, and so we're the only township listed that they're asking funds from. And would we know if Whitestone, for instance, has contributed, whether they even asked?
But then again, can't buy a snowmobile for $2,000, that's for sure. So.
Well, no, I realize
that. Yeah.
I'm just told, since the trails travel, you know, through different townships,
yeah,
really no boundaries,
yeah,
that everybody's contributing in some fashion.
I believe the requested amount for this year is $1,000.
Yeah.
$2,000 was given last year.
Yeah. But they requested $2,000 last year.
Yeah,
correct.
Right.
And they're requesting $1,000
yeah.
this year.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I was reading the 50 in the, on page 2, so yeah, and that was.
Well, so is this part of they're building up money to buy the machines?
Yeah, that's what I infer from this. I think that's pretty clear. But you like again, you couldn't buy a new one. But I mean, if they submitted receipts for more than $1,000, which I assume they would be able to do, then that would support the the donation. And like on page 3, under number 20, that they show the 634 of the. Members doesn't exactly say that are from McKellar, but I think that's true. So,
well, Dunomic would suggest that Dunomic Harbor doesn't say McKellar. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I have at least a peripheral involvement in, not that I'm a snowmobiler, but I mean, I have lots of friends that are, and I've heard lots of these stories at parties. So
they must do this, put this in to all the townships, I would think.
I would think so, but we don't know. The other thing I wanted to be clear on this, and we had a bit of a run-in a few years back, because they were using township roads as part of the trail, and they were stopping people on the roads because they said, do you have a permit?
Yeah.
And we made it clear to them, this is a public road, you can't stop them. And even when they wanted to go across on a road allowance, whatever, we said, that's always public, no matter what you put into it, people can still use it without a permit.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that was clear. I know it was happening here, coming off Spring Hill Road and onto West Road.
Okay.
They were using part of West Road as their trail, and determining who could go on West Road. Anyway, I think that's been cleared up, I hope.
It's the same as when they go through Minerva Park, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's all public there.
You come across the highway and you go through the park onto the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where the trail actually stops there. It's hard to know. Because I know it was up through private property, too, onto McKellar Lake.
Yeah.
I recall that they came to the previous council with some stuff about that, and they go through the public works yard briefly as well.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I don't have a problem with this one, but I mean, if we want to get more information, we could always ask for a deputation, I guess, and ask them to come and present, and then they could answer questions like that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and as far as this, I mean, the whole idea is to get our budget passed for this amount, and so the money is sitting there.
Yeah,
and they've met the deadline, so there's no, I mean,
we can discuss it later.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just receive these, or I'm going to do that right now?
I don't know. Up to council.
So I think the goal here is to at least get a line item number for donations, discretionary donations.
Right.
Right. So it's that one is 5,000 currently.
Right. And then this is all total under that.
Yeah. So.
Or is it?
Well, this gives this $5,400. Yeah, so I mean $400 over, but
yeah, I guess the question is, if you're planning on changing that figure, that would have an impact on the budget deliberations. But if that figure's staying, then I don't think decisions have to be made today whether they get the funding or not, unless they have deadlines.
Yeah, it's. Boils down to that, if we're going to change that amount,
right.
Or we keep that amount, and the one that came in the highest, that we adjust that amount from 3,000 down to 2,600.
Yeah, I bring it right in exactly.
Good?
Yep.
Morley!
Maybe he's having some problems.
He's outside.
I shouldn't say that.
looks like the same sort of thing, but capital is permitted now. And they're asking for less than they did last year. I think it was 5,000 last year, if I recall correctly.
Thoughts? Heard Bill Hall, the volunteers there have done a wonderful job throughout the years. And their problem throughout the years is, we know it's right on the border of the two townships, so McKellar has always kind of said, well, I don't know about that. But I don't know what percentage of volunteers are from McKellar, but it's a very large percentage are from McKellar, and a lot of them enjoy it. And as a matter of fact, I was one of the people involved in that club just got a hold of me this morning. I guess they had some fireworks gifted to them for their 50th wedding anniversary, and got a hold of me and said they got fireworks to donate to either Rec Committee or 150 celebrations if needed, and I thought it was awful nice. So that just goes to show how they are tied in with the rest of McKellar. They've been doing a lot of work, a lot of fundraising. I kind of lean toward thinking that maybe it's time for us to throw something out. Though it'd be nice to know whether McDougal would contribute maybe a little bit too. Maybe if McKellar does, and McDougal's made aware of it, maybe they might jump in at some point. So that's my feelings on it.
I don't think we should even worry about McDougal. Just do what we think is the best thing to do, really, because...
Yeah.
We've talked about McDougal before, various on other things, and they never want to be involved. But I think that Hurtville is like a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, old McKellar, it was McKellar, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, and they do, and a lot of people from McKellar go there to, you know, for their pancake breakfasts and all that stuff. So I don't know, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it would be nice at some point to get this straightened out. I know they sort of inherited it from an earlier group, and it's not our business necessarily to know where the ownership lies with this particular group, whether they even own the property. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, some of it's in McDougal, some in McKellar, but I haven't seen anything stating that they actually own things there. They may be just leasing from McDougal, I don't know. McDougal is, they weren't until they took over Ferguson, and that's when they inherited the Wabamik Hall, and they ended up getting a community center. Since then, they built their own, but so I think they did contribute to Wabamik, but I'm not sure they go so far as to contributing to this one, so I think Councillor Zulak's there, right there, probably. Yeah, and then one thing that they did do, I know when we do boundary roads, and they did their paving of all their roads, they made sure they came to us for our portion. As it went over the Hurtville Bridge and joined from, I guess it was Maplewood Drive down through, or Burnett's Road, that wasn't Burnett's, that's Hardy's there, down through to where it joins on to McDougal Road. It was a portion that runs through McKellar, and I think Township ended up paying for some of that paving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the amount was, but I know we had different things too with McDougal, and I won't belabor this, but up through Lockhearn and through the McKellar-Ferguson boundary road to the west, and because that is a boundary road too, and who puts money into that, who keeps it up, and we worked out a sort of deal with Whitestone, with Grey Owl, and with Lugs Road, but I don't think we have too much with McDougal. And that's why too, you talked about the bridge earlier too, I think that's key when we get involved with the Hurtville Bridge. There's so many players in that McDougal is certainly going to be part of it. They'll have to come to the table. And Lakeland and any number of partners. Anyway, back to the community club. As you say, it's I know they like to think that they're Hurtville separate from, but they are part of, and I think somebody